The Deadbolt Mystery Society presents The Warwick Recordings, a story about secrets and how they are uncovered in a strange neighborhood in an even stranger town.
It's Knox again with episode 8. Welcome back. I knew you would need to hear more after I revealed on the last recording that Carl was the man who had broken into my home the night before. Once I realized that, it was all I could do not to get up and run out of Virginia Barker's home. But I forced myself to stay seated and even managed to initiate a conversation with Carl. I needed to learn more about this man and what might have driven him to do such a thing. Physically, Carl wasn't very imposing. He looked like a nice old grandpa to me, harmless at first glance. But if what I was told by Becky Falk could be believed, he was part of something very dangerous and very threatening, and I would be wise to take him seriously. I found him sitting on the sofa, smoking a cigar contemplatively. A conversation seemed like the easiest place to start. "So, Carl, how long have you lived here in Warwick Court?" I asked, hoping to break the ice. "It seems like forever," he replied with an exhalation of smoke. "I've been here since the beginning. In fact, I helped design the neighborhood. I was an architect by trade. Most things here are my design, right down to the way the streets are oriented and the way the houses are positioned." "That's fascinating," I admitted. "You don't know the half of it. There's a lot more to this neighborhood than meets the eye."
"Oh, how so?" I asked, playing the fool.
"There are some interesting facts about the design of this place that most people would never suspect."
"Like what?"
I asked. "I'm not sure I should give away all my secrets. You know I'm a suspense novelist, right? Maybe you could give me some info that I could work into my next book. Who knows? Maybe I could even make you a character." "That would be something," he admitted. "Okay, great. So is there any inside information you can give a new resident like me about the neighborhood's design?" I had already loosely planned my next book around the house I bought and the types of secrets I might discover there. Maybe the neighborhood could have some secrets too. Truth is stranger than fiction, you know. So maybe what you tell me will spark some ideas about the direction I take the story. Carl looked at me carefully as if deciding what he wanted to reveal. At last he spoke. "Are you familiar with the theory of ley lines?"
"I've heard the term and have a loose idea," I said.
"Maybe you can explain the term to me anyway."
"Okay, very well. Back in the 20s, an Englishman named Alfred Watkins proposed that there are hidden lines of energy that run all over the world connecting various landmarks and historic buildings. If you can locate these ley lines and tap into the mystic energy they provide, all sorts of things are possible. Think of these ley lines as a connective tissue linking burial sites, sacred places, pools of energy, veins of magic, and all sorts of mystical earth energies. The place where two of these lines intersect are thought to be particularly powerful. Stonehenge and the pyramids of Giza are both located at these sorts of intersections. Now, what does that have to do with the design of Warwick Court, you might ask? I was married at the time that Warwick Court was little more than an idea. My dear Helen had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. The doctors said that there wasn't anything they could do. Helen was my whole world, and I was determined to do everything humanly possible not to lose her. That included reading up on every source of mystical healing, which included, but was not limited to, tapping into those hidden energy pathways beneath our feet. After doing some research, I was convinced that a ley line ran through this part of the world, which got me thinking about designing the neighborhood in such a way as to harness the energy as a means of helping my dear Helen."
"That's fascinating," I said. "Where does the ley line run?"
"Right beneath your house, as it turns out. In fact, all the homes that line up with your home run along the ley line. The ley line runs for miles, leading all the way to the great lighthouse at Gannett's Point. From there, if you continue along that line and go straight across the ocean, you'll eventually end up at Glastonbury, which is a noted location for mystical energy and a place rumored to be the burial location for King Arthur himself. No kidding, I said. That's quite a story. Development on the subdivision went quickly, and ours was the first home built here. For a time, Helen responded wonderfully to the change of scenery. She seemed to thrive here. She seemed to be healing. The energies here were doing her good. Then something changed, and Helen regressed. I'm so sorry. What happened? Unfortunately, Helen didn't recover, and ultimately succumbed to the disease. I made it my mission to learn more about the ley lines. Do you really think the ley lines healed her, even temporarily? Oh, I know they did, Carl exclaimed. I've learned a lot more since then. So much more. What else did you learn? Carl was just about to answer when Allie interrupted him. There'll be plenty of time to talk shop later, she said. This night is supposed to be about us getting to know Knox and to welcome him to the neighborhood. We should be asking him about himself, not telling him about us. You are correct, young lady, Carl said, taking another puff of his cigar. How thoughtless of me. It's okay, Allie, I said, a little frustrated that she had butted in right when I was about to get additional information. I'm the one that asked him in the first place, so I only have myself to blame. Carl likes to talk, Allie said. Sometimes he doesn't know when to stop. Carl nodded. She's right, you know. I've said enough. Is there anything you have questions about? Anything we can tell you about the neighborhood? Any questions at all? Let's let you drive the conversation and not me. I thought for a moment and then settled on a particular question to see how he reacted. Do you have any problems with owls in this area? I swear one has taken up residence in my attic. No, not that I'm aware of, Carl said, studying me carefully. I don't know that I've seen an owl in ages. Bob, have you seen any owls around here?
Not a one, Bob replied from the other room. What about you?
He asked someone else just out of sight.
Who?
A woman said with a chuckle.
You are a kidder, Etta, Bob said. I'll take that as a no.
I haven't seen any owls, she said.
Mary?
From the other room, I just heard a grunt, which I interpreted as a no. Maybe I'm mistaken, I said.
Have you had any problems with intruders? Maybe what I heard was an intruder instead of an owl.
Carl looked at me carefully before responding. This is one of the safest neighborhoods in town. Everything is quiet. Everything is laid back. It's a great place to raise a family.
Well, that's a relief, I said.
I'm recently divorced and not used to living alone. I guess being in a new place all by myself has made me jumpy. I went and bought a gun and everything. You won't have any reason to use a gun around here, Carl assured me. I guarantee it. I'm so glad to hear that. Maybe my writer's imagination has gotten away with me. I visualize an entire scenario where someone breaks into my house and forces me to shoot them. Isn't that crazy? Save those sorts of thoughts for the bestseller, young man. That's the only place they'll do you any good.
Noted, I said.
Although I couldn't be sure, I thought my question about owls had made Carl squirm a little. I was certain he was the one who broke into my home.
Is there anything else you can tell me that might be helpful?
Yes, sir, Carl replied. Miss Allie likes romantic movies, Italian food, and jazz. Remember those things when you finally take her out. Maybe the two of you should set up a proper date instead of trying to get to know each other with a bunch of old coots in a room with you.
I think that might be a great idea. Allie, would you like to go out with me and grab a drink after dinner tonight?
I would love to, Knox, she said with a smile.
After we eat.
Perfect, I replied. And so that was that. I wasn't really sure how much of what Carl told me was the truth. I suspected that a lot of what he said was made up of half-truths instead. The part about the ley lines running beneath the neighborhood and the neighborhood being laid out in such a way that the homes were situated on top of those lines to harness their power was intriguing to me and made me think about the tunnels that ran beneath the homes.
As far as Carl knew, I hadn't discovered the tunnels and knew nothing about the owl totem that was hidden beneath the streets of Warwick Court. The story Carl told about designing the neighborhood of Warwick Court reminded me an awful lot of the stories I had read about the Freemason and occult influence in the design of Washington, D.C., and about the way its streets were laid out to mirror constellations and certain symbols prevalent in Freemasonry. It was all too much to consider. At one point, I excused myself from the table and went to use the restroom. I passed by Allie's chair, and she pressed something into my hand on my way. To her Aunt Virginia, it looked like she was flirtatiously trying to grab my hand, but it was much more than that. I found that out once I got to the bathroom and examined the note she had passed to me. It read, "They have done extensive research on you since they found out you were moving in. They know about your history at Saturn Hills Asylum. They know about the kind of delusions you used to have. They will use that history to destroy you. Bob used to be one of the doctors there. Carl was in military intelligence. Etta was a nurse. Mary was a psychiatrist. Virginia was a scientist. They will try to make you doubt your sanity. Don't question what you've heard and seen, even when it seems impossible. They know how to use certain drugs to shape thoughts and make you believe things that can't be true. Don't fall for their tricks." I read the note twice, not entirely sure what Allie was trying to tell me. All of this was so unreal. I folded the note and put it into my pocket for safekeeping. Then I tried to put on a calm face and headed back out to the dinner party. This seems like a good stopping point as any other. Drudging these memories up is causing me to feel some anxiety right now. Let me take a break and calm my nerves for a bit before we continue. Things are about to really get interesting, but we can talk more about that later. Until next time, this is Knox Carter with the Warwick Recordings.
The Warwick Recordings are presented by the Deadbolt Mystery Society. Written by Jason Brannan. Edited by David Alderman. Narrated by Glenn Payne. Sound designed and mixed by Glenn Payne. Executive producers Jason Brannan and Sean Brannan. You can support us by reviewing the Warwick Recordings on the platform where you found us and by sharing this podcast with others. If you enjoyed the Warwick Recordings, we think you would also like our puzzle-solving mystery games, which are found at deadboltmysterysociety.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time.